And how many of you know we're in a subject called prayer? Amen. We've learned some things about being effective prayers, right? And there's a whole bunch of different kinds of prayer. How many figured out there's more than one kind of prayer, right? How many of you thought there was found out there's more kinds of prayer than you thought there were? Anybody? So there's a handful of them, and you're like, well, how in the world do we figure out which one to use where and what tool to use in this situation? Guess what? The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you, right? And He knows exactly what type of prayer you should use that's the most effective for this situation and right now. Amen? And there are times when He's going to instruct you to not even pray, but to just speak to something. Is that true? Speak to the mountain. Amen? Speak to the fig tree. We got to use our words. Amen? There's things we pray about we should not even be praying about because God told us to speak to it. Is that true? So we found out that there's effective prayer. There's fervent prayer. Last week we talked about supplication. That's just not by the wayside prayer that you just do when you're just doing other things. Supplication is intentional. It's intuitive. It's intense. It's with discipline and purpose where we come before the Lord, knowing exactly what we're bringing to Him with our scriptures lined up. Amen? And we know exactly what we're going to do when we pray supplication. Supplication in the Bible is purposeful. It's intense. It's intentional. Amen? And we found out that in intercession, that we can stand in the gap for others, that we can pray for other people that don't even know they're about to go off the bridge. Amen? We can help and stand in the gap. Ezekiel said that God was looking for a man to stand in the gap. Amen? But He didn't find any. I want Him to find me. Amen? I'll stand in the gap. Here I am, Lord. I'll pray. Tell me what to do. Tell me how to pray. Amen? So last week, I left you with a little bit of a cliffhanger on purpose. And I said that the most important prayer that a believer can pray in the New Testament church was going to be, and then you got to come back next week. Remember that? It's kind of rotten, I know. But you're here, amen? You're here, and God is good. So we're going to look at what that looks like. Can we do that? Let's turn over and look at our text, James chapter 5, verse 16. New King James, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And in the Amplified, the classic edition, it says, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Amen? I want to be effective. I want tremendous power available when I pray. Amen? Not just because of me, but because of what the Word says and what God said about us. Is that true? So we looked at different kinds of prayer. We looked at the prayer of faith, the prayer of consecration and commitment and worship. And we got down to the prayer of supplication and intercession last week. But this week, I want to go into what I believe is one of the most important types of prayer. So we're going to start with Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Turn over there with me. Hebrews chapter 6. Thank you, Lord. You know, it is totally okay for you to be interactive. You can say amen or oh me or I never seen that before or help me, Jesus, or whatever you got to do. It's okay. It helps. It helps with this interaction because this is a, come on now, help me out a little bit. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews chapter 6. Therefore, Paul is talking in Hebrews. And how do you know it was Paul? Well, it was written just like Paul writes it. It says author unknown, but Hebrews, I believe firmly, was written by Paul. So we'll look at it. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. And he says this, therefore, we're leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, verse 2, and of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Now, that first section of verse 2 says that Paul said we are going to move on from the elementary principles of Christ. And he lists these things that are elementary. That means basic, right? You guys remember elementary school? That's when you're first starting to figure out that, you know, you can touch your nose with your finger and count to 10 and all those beginning years, right? You're learning how to read and how to put stuff together. He's saying the elementary principles, these basics are this list right here. And in verse 2, the first thing he talks about is the doctrine of baptisms, plural, baptisms. That means there's more than one. And so he says that this is basic, this is foundational, and we need to move past this. So today we're going to talk about the doctrine of baptisms because it's foundational. It's the beginning. It's stuff that we need to have in us from the root. Is that true? Amen? If it's an elementary principle, we need to have it in us because it's hard to do algebra when you can't count to 10, right? Or know your letters. Is that true? So we're going to start with some basics. So this is what he says. He says, this is just the beginning. And we're going to move on from this. But since we're going to talk about it, we're going to cover some elementary principles. So the first baptism that's in the doctrine of baptisms, there's three, is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to show you this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Is it okay we look at the scripture? Come on, this is our life, amen? This is where we get our doctrine, our correction, our reproof. God's helping us, changing us, transforming us. My heart's desire for Westside Church in this community is to see the church mature into grown-up Christians. Because you can live your whole life. You can live 40, 50, 60 years and be a baby Christian the whole time. Do you know that? It is absolutely possible. That is not God's will for us. If we're going to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to have to grow up. And that means we're going to have to look at ourselves hard in the mirror and make some changes. Is that true? Anybody arrived yet? Put your hands down. Anybody arrived yet? Right? Nobody's arrived. Amen. We are all learning and growing. But this is part of what we're called to do is to grow up. That means that at Westside, we're going to get milk and we're going to get meat. Is that true? So we're going to have to understand some things so that we can grow up. And that's what our mission is to help people get from where they are to where God wants them to be. And you cannot do that unless you grow up. True? Thank you, Lord. Okay, so 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. We've all been made to drink into one Spirit. We've been baptized by the Spirit into Jesus Christ. When we are born again, right? When we give our hearts and our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit does the work and He baptizes us into Jesus. That's when we give our heart to the Lord, when we become what the Bible says, born again, new creatures in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that's when the Holy Spirit baptizes us into Jesus. That's the first baptism. You can't even get started until you get baptized into Jesus. Amen? The Holy Spirit is the one that does the work. Amen? God is the one that leads all men to Himself by His goodness. And the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts us that we need a Savior. Is that true? He's the one that does the work. He uses us. Thank God He uses us to present the gospel to people. But it's the Holy Spirit that says, let me do the work. I'm going to baptize them into Jesus, into the body of Christ. Do you see that? That verse 13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, whether we were Jews or Greeks, whether we are slaves or free, we have all been made to drink in that baptism into one Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. There's no other super crazy spirit out there. It's the Holy Spirit, right? He's the third in the Godhead. He's like a divine Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit. Amen? He's the one that does the work. That's the first baptism. All of us in church can agree on that one. That one's really easy, isn't it? We know people need to get born again and saved. We know that something on the inside changes. It's like you can see clearer, smell better, hear better, taste better. Life just gets good when you give Jesus your whole self. That's the Holy Spirit's work. It's the Spirit of God that performs this baptism. He's the one that baptizes us into Jesus. It's Him. Amen? It's the Holy Spirit. We are baptized into the body of Christ. That means as a member in the body of Christ, you have a function. Amen? How many of you want to just, if you had to today, pick a part on your body that you wanted to get rid of? A body part. Just, yeah, I don't need that. I'll pass. I like them all, right? I work in construction all the time, saws and all kinds of stuff. And Cody's like, you be careful. I like all of you. I want you to come back with all of your fingers and all of your toes every day, okay? She said, be careful. Amen? Because I got buddies and friends that they weren't careful and they lost digits on saws and things. And it's a great story, but I want to keep them all. Amen? So we're all important, every single one of us. Is that true? And we're all baptized into the body of Christ. And that's the Holy Spirit's work. There's another baptism on top of that, and it's the baptism in water. So let's look at that. Matthew 28. Turn to Matthew 28. And I have just a little bit of a clip for you, because every time I think of baptism in water, I just chuckle at this little clip, if we can get it up there. Thank you, Lord. Turn to Matthew 28 while they're getting that up.
Who have accepted Christ as his Savior and as his Lord, and he will demonstrate his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ by willingly being baptized this morning. He's been waiting on this day a long time. And so, Jordan, upon the profession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Go, Jordan. He just couldn't wait. Dude, the guy was taking too long. He just goes, "Oh, do it," and just dunked himself. I'm like, that kid was excited to get baptized. Amen. Oh, I love it. But you know what? We're called to be excited about getting baptized. And we have a baptism in water that we do as our public declaration of faith to say, you know what? I'm doing this. I'm in. This is my statement of faith. The old man's going in and the new man's coming out. Amen. And Jesus said, go into all the world, make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so look in Matthew 28, verse 19. This is part of the Great Commission. And he said, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So there's two baptisms. We get baptized by the Holy Spirit into the Lord Jesus Christ when we're born again. And we get baptized in water. And that's done by an agent in our body. It's done by a minister or by a friend. It's done by somebody else that's a believer. Amen. And we go to them and we just say, hey, I'm ready. Get me baptized. And anybody can do that. It does not have to be the preacher. Anybody that knows Jesus, you could baptize your friends or your kids. True? Because it's disciples baptizing people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's important. So if you haven't been baptized, I encourage you to get baptized. We do that. We do it at the lake every year when we're out there on our lake day. We also have a portable tank we set up right here that actually has warmish water in it, right? And if you want to get baptized, let somebody know. I know there's a few of you already that want to get baptized, so if there's more of you, we will set that up and get it done. Amen? But it's important. It's the second baptism in the doctrine of baptisms that Paul said was just elementary. It's basic. This is stuff we need to know. Amen? So here we are, the doctrine of baptisms and being baptized in water. So these are easy to agree on, right? Because these are things that we can see and experience. We've seen this for decades and centuries of church culture over the last couple thousand years. But let's step into what some would call a more controversial baptism. You guys ready? It's called being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's the third baptism, and it is not to be left out because there's three baptisms. There's three baptisms. So let's look at it. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. The first baptism, the Holy Spirit, is the agent who baptizes us into Jesus. The second baptism is a disciple of the Lord Jesus that baptizes us in water. The third time we get baptized, baptism in the Holy Spirit, it's the Lord Jesus that baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. And he told his disciples, when I get to heaven, when I go, when I ascend to the Father, I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Why couldn't he bring him when he was there? Because Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and he had to be in his place in authority in heaven at the right hand of God. Amen? He had to be there. So when he went, he sent the Holy Spirit. Now listen, Jesus said this, and he said it in no uncertain terms. He told his disciples, you're doing good, right? You believe in me? I'm going to the Father? But listen to me. You have to go to Jerusalem, and you have to wait for the Holy Spirit. You cannot be commissioned with what I've called you to do until the Holy Spirit comes. Go and wait. And they're like, we don't even know what this is. I mean, they're like, why? All they knew to do was to obey Jesus and to go into Jerusalem and to wait for the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit. It's in Scripture. They saw it. They had no idea what it was going to look like. True? And here they are hanging out and waiting. But Jesus is the baptizer. Amen? Matthew chapter 3. You guys doing okay? Matthew chapter 3. Thank you, Lord. Let me get there. You guys there? Matthew chapter 3. Oh, thank you, Lord. John the Baptist is baptizing. And in verse 10, he says, and even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear fruit, good fruit, is cut down and thrown into the fire. In verse 11, he says, this is John the Baptist. He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he, capital H, who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Is that clear? Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Do you know that this is, there's a handful of things in all four Gospels that are repeated. We get to see different scenarios in all four Gospels seen from different perspectives. And that is really unique. That actually makes the Bible extremely credible because they don't all see the same thing the exact same way. In plagiarism, people see it the exact same way, and it's like we're seeing it through the same eye hole, if you will, but that's not what we see in the Gospels. We see different stories told from different perspectives, just like we do in real life. When police are trying to solve accidents and crimes, they have different accounts from different witnesses that saw it completely differently. But it helps them put the pieces together to get the truth. And that's exactly what we see in the Gospels. There's a handful of things in all four Gospels that are repeated. This is one of them. This is one of them where he said the Holy Spirit is going to come and Jesus will be the baptizer. He's the one that will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire. We see it in Mark chapter 1. Verse 8, indeed, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 3, verse 16, you can write these down. Luke 3:16. John answered and said, I indeed baptize you with water, but the one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And then John 1, I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is the one, capital O, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. John knew his place. He said, I'm just the forerunner. I'm just presenting you Jesus. I'm just preaching repentance. But when Jesus comes, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And he knew his function and he knew his role. And he said, when I get to heaven, when I go and ascend to the Father, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And it's going to be good. And you're going to be filled. Amen? So let's look at what that looks like. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said in Luke 24, turn that over. Turn over there. I want you guys to see that. Luke chapter 24. Thank you, Lord. This will help you your whole life. Verse 49. This is where Jesus said, go and tarry. Go and wait. Verse 49, Luke 24:49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. He's saying, wait. Amen? You guys get that? He said it was important. Don't go anywhere till the Holy Spirit comes. You think that's important if that's Jesus' instruction? I think so too. Amen? So turn over to Acts chapter 2. Everybody doing okay? Come on. This is good news. Acts chapter 2. Thank you, Dustin. I appreciate your amens. I will take them all. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Thank you, Lord. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. That means they were in unity. They were all together. They were believing God for the same thing. Lord, send the Holy Spirit. We're ready. The day of Pentecost was actually a feast date that God had established thousands of years before. Imagine that. And the Holy Spirit came and fulfilled the exact day, the day of Pentecost. Think about that. But they were all in one accord on the day of Pentecost. And they were all there in one place. And then suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Everybody say, speak with other tongues. Now, we're going to have to talk a little bit about this so that we can understand why there's some confusion on this. Because I have heard people say, excuse me, that what this means is that they spoke in they understood all of a sudden, they understood all these other languages. They understood Arabic, they understood Farsi, they understood Portuguese and Spanish and French and German. They understood all these, and so they spoke in these other tongues. And in reality, the farther we get into Scripture, we understand that they were speaking in a language that was unknown to their head. And it's called speaking in other tongues. Now, historically, the church has pulled away from this because it's supernatural. People like to be able to explain and understand everything that they do. God wants us to yield ourselves to him and let him work in us the way he sees fit. Amen? These guys had no idea. They had no idea what was coming down the pipe for them. But they were there where Jesus told them to be. And the Holy Spirit came in and he rushed in and he filled the place. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke in other tongues. Isn't that amazing? Now, one thing I want to make crystal clear in this is that the Holy Spirit is the agent in which we are born again. You cannot be born again without the Holy Spirit. Therefore, if you are born again, the Holy Spirit resides in you. The Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, has to be there. But there is a subsequent event that happens after we're born again that Jesus said was necessary, that we are filled with the Holy Spirit to the full, amen? And when they were filled to the full, something came out on the inside. And it sounded like something they had never heard before. And the Bible says it was speaking in other tongues. Speaking in other tongues. And they were so full of God that they spilled out of the building into the streets. And people looked at them and go, those guys are drunk. Look at them. They are babbling and it is crazy because of what it looked like. But it was 9 o'clock in the morning. There's no way. There's no way. And yet God was doing something supernatural because each of those people that heard, listen, the Bible says that the town heard the rushing wind. They heard the sound of the Holy Spirit coming into the earth and flooding into that room. They heard it and they came in and they came to find out what the sound was. And they heard these guys and gals, it was all of them, speaking in other tongues. And they're like, I hear that one talking in my language and I hear that one talking in my language. And how is this even possible? And they were all magnifying God with this unknown tongue that they didn't know. How is this possible? These guys, we recognize all these guys. They're Galileans. They don't know these. They're uneducated. How is this possible? It was the Spirit of God flowing in them, doing a miracle to the hearers that they could hear them magnify God when the Holy Spirit came in. Do you know when the Holy Spirit shows up for the first time, that's a big deal, right? That's why there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind and flames of fire on their head, and that 3,000 people right after this gave their hearts to the Lord. But when Jesus showed up, there was a big thing happening then too. Amen? Angel choir showed up. A star led wise men to where he was born. When the Savior shows up, when the Holy Spirit shows up, something dramatic and miraculous happens. But that does not mean that every born-again person after that, you're going to have an angel choir singing about you. Right? That does not mean that every time you show up that wise men are going to show up with gifts and a star led them to you. They led the wise men to the Savior. When the Holy Spirit showed up, it was a big event. He wanted to show off and show up. But that doesn't mean that you can't get filled with the Holy Spirit if you don't have a flame of fire over your head and you don't hear a rushing mighty wind because he just came into the earth. People get filled all the time. Many of you have been filled in this church, filled with the Spirit. God is so good to us. Man, this is an absolute, listen to me, necessity for the Christian life. Jesus said, don't even try to minister without being filled with the Spirit. Don't even try it. True? So now we have a position as believers. Are we going to believe what the Word says, or are we going to believe what we were taught as tradition? Now listen, we live in an age, in a day, in this time, where we have been taught all kinds of stuff. Is that true? Anybody since you've been to this church have had to question and challenge some things you were taught when you were younger, earlier in life? Come on now, that's my job, is to challenge what you believe according to the Word of God. That is my job, and to equip the saints to do the ministry. So we've got to check ourselves and say, okay, if I believe something different than what the Word is saying, then I need to change. True? We're the ones that need to change. So God's showing us, man, there's something that happens when the Holy Spirit comes. There's something that happens, and it's amazing, and he wants us to use it. Is that true? So here's the question. What's the most important member of your body? Now, guys, it is not your stomach. That is not the most important member of your body. If you had to pick one thing on your body that you would say, this is the, I cannot live without this. This is the most important thing in my body, right? It's not your finger, right? You can pick your teeth and you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your friend's teeth, okay? It's inappropriate. So it's, you could live without your finger. You could, right? You could live without hands and feet and arms. You could. But you cannot live without your tongue. Come on now. You need to be able to articulate. According to the Word of God, you need to be able to speak the Word. You need to be able to get born again because you got to confess. Is that true? Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. That's Proverbs 18. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. James 3:2 says, for we all stumble in many things, but if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. The reason why God wants to get a hold of our tongue in speaking in tongues is because it's the most important part of our body. If he can get our mouth, man, if he can get us speaking the right things. See, speaking in tongues, we'll look at this, praying in the Spirit, praying in this unknown language is 100% biblical, and we're going to see it. 100% biblical. And the reason why he gave it to the church is so that we can pray out the mysteries of God. Did you know when you pray in the Spirit, when you pray in a language you do not understand, you are praying the perfect will of God for your life. The perfect will of God. Think about that. You are physically removing your brain with getting involved with how you're praying before the Father. Let's go look at it. I'm getting some glazes and stuff, so let's go look at it. First Corinthians. Thank you, Lord. This is going to help you your whole life. I'm telling you, I've seen it by the droves. Hundreds of people give their heart to the Lord, get baptized in water, get filled with the Holy Spirit, and speak in other tongues. And they will tell you that was the moment. I can't even tell you how many times I've heard this where people knew the Lord, were hungry for God, and were like, there's just the churches they were at, where no matter what it was, denominationally or whatever they were raised in, just did not talk about and teach about the Holy Spirit. Because it's A, controversial for some reason. I don't find it controversial at all. I love the Holy Spirit. He is absolutely in the earth to help us, to minister to us, to be our comforter and our helper. He is here for that reason. So we got to be able to talk about him and know what his function is. Amen? But people have been taught this thing, and then they grow up, and they just know in their heart, there's more. And then as adults, in the jobs they've worked, in the places that the Lord has led them, I know one couple here, he was working in a factory, and God brought two believers from the factory to him and told him about being filled with the Holy Spirit, and he got filled on the factory floor, filled with the Spirit, and spoke in other tongues. Like, it can happen anywhere. This is for the church. It's for the whole church, everybody. Amen? It's for the whole church. I'll show you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You guys doing okay? Come on, you got to love me. Jesus is good. How are we doing on time? We're doing good? Thank you, Lord. Verse 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. Everybody say different kinds. Different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now look at that verse 10. This whole thing we just read. Let's go back with me to verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Now, Paul, in verse 1 here, says, he starts it with, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. He is talking about the spiritual gifts to the body of Christ for the edification of others. And he lists all of them right there. There's 9 of them. He talks about the gift of the word of wisdom, the gift of the word of knowledge, the gift of faith, and one translation says special faith. There are gifts in the body of Christ that we use for the edification of the body. So there are times in your spiritual walk where the Lord will give you a specific piece of knowledge about somebody that you would never know otherwise. You just say, they're dealing with this, or you need to pray about this, or you need to talk to them about this. It's called a word of knowledge. There's no possible way you could know that unless the Spirit of God revealed it to your heart. There's also words of wisdom where you will speak into somebody's life instruction or something they needed to know about a situation that there's no way you could have known in the natural except by the Spirit of God. These are gifts for the body of Christ to help others. Does that make sense? The same thing's true with the working of miracles, with the gifts of healing, to prophecy, to discerning of spirits, and then it says to different kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. So there are two specific references to speaking in tongues, and they're different in Scripture. In Acts chapter 2, they were all filled. Everybody say all. There were approximately 120 people in the upper room that day, men and women. 120. And the Bible says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in other tongues. All of them. Does that make sense? And then Paul's addressing the gifts of the Spirit to the church so that we can be a blessing to each other. And he's saying these individually are gifts. Now, in a setting where we are together as a church or we're together in a Bible study, the Holy Spirit wants to move in our midst. He wants to give us words of encouragement, words of wisdom, words of knowledge. You may even get a prophecy, something encouraging for somebody else where you can speak into their lives. I'm telling you, I've received them and they were a blessing to me. Amen? And it's encouraging to hear it from people that are yielded to the Holy Spirit speaking into your life. It's important. This is what the Bible talks about is these gifts. There are gifts in the body of Christ where people lay hands on and see healings, see miracles. Amen? And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit distributes to each one as he wills. That means you could operate in different gifts because you're in the right place at the right time. But specifically, he talks about speaking in other tongues with the gift of interpretation. Now, in a corporate setting, if somebody were to get up, like in that moment when we were quiet after worship, when we just give the Lord a minute to just, okay, Father, Holy Spirit, is there anything else that you want to say or do? And Dad had a word of encouragement about our people coming up on our radar screens. Amen? Those are moments where we're listening to the Holy Spirit to see if he wants to say or do anything else before we move on and flow on in the service. Amen? And that is a moment where somebody might, at some point in our church, it will happen, somebody might give a message in tongues. They might speak in tongues and the whole body, everybody hears. But the Bible says that when you do that corporately, there must be an interpretation. Somebody has to speak in English so that we can understand what God has said. They always go together every single time. Speaking in tongues with interpretation. Does that make sense? This is not the same thing as being filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues as your own personal prayer. They're not the same. That one's a gift. That one's a gift. It flows and functions in a corporate setting. Paul addresses this in Corinthians. Read it, 12, 13, 14. He addresses this. He goes, you guys are doing good. You're flowing in the gifts. Man, you're doing good. You're being led by the Spirit. However, it's getting a little chaotic because everybody's speaking in tongues. Everybody's giving a word. Everybody, and we're not even having service. It got a little out of hand. He didn't condemn them for it. He just said we need to do it in order, right? Because, you know, when we get here, the Seahawks game's on, and we only have a few minutes, right? I get you like for an hour and 10 minutes, right? That's it. That's it. So we've got to do some things decently and in order, so that the Holy Spirit can do what he wants to do. Is that true? So this is a different gift. It is the same, one and the same, but it's different kinds of tongues. And different people will operate in this. But that does not mean that the whole church can't be filled with the Spirit and speak in other tongues. Let's look at some examples. Acts chapter 8. I just got a couple more minutes. Can you hang in with me? It's 11:04. You've been at church for 64 minutes and 10 seconds. Everybody doing okay? All week we can handle church for a little bit longer? Okay. Love you. I love you. Acts chapter 8. Let's look at a couple of these. Thank you, Lord. Verse 14. Now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. The Bible says they had already received the word of God. They've already received it. What happens when you receive the word of God, when you receive the Lord Jesus? You're born again. They've already received it. They made Jesus the Lord of their lives. But they came down that they and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen on how many? None of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That means there's a born again and there's a baptism in water. But they came down because there was another baptism. Amen? And God sent them. There's another baptism. It's being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when they laid hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen? Now look at this. This is important. Next verse. When Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. Now Simon, in the verses previous, was a sorcerer. He had mystified the people in the area by his magic arts and his sleight of hand. They thought he was something special. He was making a living doing this. But he heard the gospel of Jesus, and he got born again. He gave his heart to the Lord. And he was following these disciples around going, man, this is amazing. And then these guys, Peter and John, show up, and they lay hands on people, and they got filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that Simon saw. What did he see? What could it possibly be? Because I'm telling you, there's a whole church world that loves Jesus. Churches all over the place that love Jesus and say that being born again and being baptized in water is all there is. And you have all the Holy Spirit that you need. But the Bible says there's another experience. It's the third baptism. Amen? And it's something that can be seen. So when he laid hands on them, the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. How did he know that? Well, he just sensed it in his heart, in his spirit. No, the Bible says he saw. What did he see? He saw them speaking in other tongues. Because every time these guys laid hands and prayed for them to be filled with the Spirit, we see it throughout Scripture. They were all filled and they spoke in other tongues. Turn over to chapter 9. We'll see it again. Simon saw something. As a new believer, new in Christ, he saw something. Acts chapter 9. You guys okay? Thank you, Lord. In Acts chapter 9, Paul was blinded on the road to Damascus, and he's waiting, and Jesus comes before Ananias and says, Ananias, go and lay your hands on Paul, and his blindness will be healed, and he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. So he goes, Ananias goes, he lays hands on him, he says, brother Saul, in verse 17, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has, as you came, he sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he received his sight at once, and he rose and baptized. Well, how do we know that he received the Holy Spirit? First of all, the Bible says he received the Holy Spirit, and then Paul, who penned 2/3 of the New Testament, said in 1 Corinthians, I pray in tongues more than you all. That means he was constantly praying in the Spirit. Why? Because he knew how powerful it was. Oh, there's something that happens when we yield our tongue to the Holy Spirit and speak. Okay, chapter 10. Chapter 10, this is the story where Peter, come on, he gets sent to Cornelius. Cornelius isn't even a Jew. He's a Gentile. And God told Peter, go to this man. And he goes. He is obedient. And he preaches the gospel. And while Peter is still preaching, he's not prayed for him. He's not laid hands on him. They have believed in their heart that the Lord Jesus was their Lord while he's preaching. And the Holy Spirit fell. And they were amazed. Peter was amazed because they heard them speak in other tongues and magnify God. Chapter 10, verse 44 through 46. They heard them. Verse 46. They heard them speak in other tongues and magnify God. They heard them. The Holy Spirit fell on all of them. Everybody say all. We see it again in Acts 19. Acts 19, Paul came. He said, what have you guys been baptized in? And they said, we've been baptized into John's baptism. And he said, that's good, but Jesus is who you need to be baptized. And they baptized them in the name of Jesus in water. And then they laid hands on them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in other tongues. This is for the whole church. It's for the whole church. Every single man, woman, and child that makes Jesus the Lord of their life. You can be filled with the Spirit, and you can pray and speak in other tongues. If we had time, which we don't, I could tell story after story after story after story of people that lived their lives without the Holy Spirit and found out either mid or later in life where they were like, yeah, I want it. Fill me up. And they got filled with the Holy Spirit and something dramatic changed. The Scripture starts leaping off the page. You can understand things like you never understood before. There's something on the inside that happens like, man, why didn't I see that before? You're more sensitive to the Spirit of God when you're praying in the Spirit, speaking in other tongues. You pick up things quicker when he's directing you and guiding you and leading you. There's a reason why Jesus said, don't go anywhere. They had the tools, they had the equipment, they had lived with Jesus for 3 years. They knew exactly how he operated. He had put stuff in them, and he said, don't go do ministry until you receive the Holy Spirit. And then they preached it everywhere they went. When Paul got filled, he went everywhere he went. Have you received the Holy Spirit? Come on, he laid hands on them. They were filled with the Spirit of God, and they spoke in other tongues. There is an experience of being filled with the Holy Ghost, the third baptism, that is not left undone by the Holy Spirit. He wants every single one of us to have it. I realize this rocks the boat in many cases, right? I understand this might challenge a paradigm of what you've been taught. I'm going to talk a little bit more about it next week. So hang with me. I can prove even more from Scripture how this is absolutely for every single man, woman, and child in the kingdom of God. I can prove it. It's in there. Show up. I'm going to teach you some more about it. Amen? It's going to be good because I believe it's paramount. I pray in the Spirit all the time. I pray in the Spirit driving down the road, and people look at me, and they start yelling at me because they think I'm talking to them. And I'm just praying in the Spirit, looking around, and they think, like, road rage starts to set in. Sometimes I just have to point to my Bluetooth. like, you know, so they just get off my case because I don't know what they're thinking. I'm just praying. So you can do this all the time because your brain is not engaged. Your spirit is praying up out of your man. Come on now. So I want to encourage you. Don't shut me down. Stay with me. I got more to say. I just don't have enough time to say it this morning. But God is good to you, and he's good to us, and he wants us to grow and mature. And this is one of the single greatest things you can do aside from being born again, coming into the kingdom of God, is yielding to the Holy Spirit and saying, okay, Lord, you get all of it. You get all of it. And I want my tongue completely yielded to you as well. Amen? You guys doing okay? All right, if this freaks you out, come talk to me after service. Come on now. There's more to say next week, and it will help you. Amen? It'll help you. There's just more to say. Can you trust me on that? Okay, I love you. Let me pray for you.